Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Brighten your day with a book.
Hello, my fellow bookworms. This is Philippa from QuickBook Reviews, author interviews and book reviews. How are you doing today? It's a Friday. You might be asking, what on earth is Philippa doing talking to me on a Friday? It's a special because the interviews I have with authors are booked in now till November, December this year. So they're booked really far in advance. So when I get something offered to me, an interesting author, a book I think you'd like to hear about, I have to snap it up and do it as a special on a Friday. So it's not going to be every Friday, but occasionally there'll be some Friday episodes. So why am I here on a Friday, you might ask? It's because I've got one of these authors I need to talk to you about. And the author is Alexandra Potter, who's written a number of books. Her new one out is More Confessions of a 40-something F-Up. You'll have heard her or heard about her original book that this links to, Confessions of a 40-something F-Up. And this is sort of the follow-on. But if you haven't read the first one, I didn't think you need to read the first one to get everything from this book. It's written in a very sort of tolerant way of new readers. So I wouldn't worry about that. And it just made me smile. Yes, there's some sad content, but it made me smile and it made me feel a bit better that I might actually be coping at life. Whereas normally I think I'm not. Particularly where I'm not coping at life is, okay, I go for a run, as you know, most mornings. I don't wear my glasses when I'm running because they just fall off at the speed I'm running at. Yeah, to be a fine thing, but I don't wear my glasses. And yet there's a road diversion at the moment. So there's a lot of traffic coming past me as I'm running and I can't see who are driving the cars. Now, do I just wave at everyone that I think's waving at me, even if I don't know who they are and they're actually a serial killer? Or do I not wave at anyone and might appear rude to people that are waving at me, but I can't see who they are because I haven't got my glasses on? I don't know what to do. Please advise. Please tell me what to do. Anyway, we've got Alexandra coming up and she's got some book recommendations at the end as well. So do hang on for those. Some really interesting ones. Some I've heard about, some I haven't. Without further ado, let's talk to Alex now. It is my huge pleasure to welcome to the podcast today Alexandra Potter, whose latest book is called More Confessions of a 40-something F-Up. Alexandra, Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Can you start by giving us a bit of a summary of this book in case somebody hasn't yet read it?
Okay, so this book is the second part of a novel called Confessions of a 40-something F-Up. But I've written it in a way that you don't need to read the first one to be able to read the second one. It's completely, I explain who everybody is. And it's basically about a girl called Nell, and she's in her 40s, and life just isn't how she expected it to be. It's just not turned out how she thought. And she moves back to England from America. She starts a job writing obituaries. And she meets a wonderful woman who is a widow called Cricket, who's in her 80s. And it's all about this unlikely friendship that she has with Cricket. And it's she has a circle of friends that are all lots of mums, they're married with children. And it's how we look at everybody's life, and it's how Nell originally thought that she was kind of failing at life and everybody was succeeding. And she realizes that everybody's in the same boat and everybody feels like they're a bit of an F up. And actually, they're not a bit of an F up. It's kind of society can make you feel like that because there's so much pressure on us from everywhere to sort of be leading these perfect lives, especially like you see on social media. And in this book, we talk about how you sort of always kind of think that you're going to get to this magical place where everything is sorted out. And actually, you never get there because there is no magical place. And it's just life, and life just keeps kind of throwing things at you. So it's I think a lot of the messages that I get from readers is that it's so relatable and they can all see themselves in this book. And I think they love it because I just tell it like it is.
I was talking to someone this morning who said they woke up and yet again felt this sort of level of doom fall on them, and actually decided that this morning, no, that they were going to have a good day, that they weren't going to think negatively about themselves and their life. And already they were starting to have a much better day. And I think your book is like that. It's a sort of don't worry about it as much. If we dwell on all the bad, it's not going to help.
Yeah. And I also put at the end of each chapter, Nell does a little gratitude list. And they're funny because sometimes you're having a really bad day. And every day she tries to find something that she's grateful for. And it can be stupid little things. And she does it at the end of every chapter. And a lot of people have said to me that they've started doing a gratitude list. And actually, it just makes them feel so much better.
Yeah.
About things, because you can always find joy in something. And I also think you've got to laugh in the face of it all. That is a big message in the book, that life throws this stuff at you and you kind of have to laugh in the face of it all.
And this book came out in paperback yesterday,
yeah,
which is great. So it's
very
really
exciting.
Accessible. Yes. What's been the response so far, Alex?
Do you know what? I am so lucky that I get all these amazing messages from readers, and People give social media a really bad rap, but actually with Instagram, I get a lot of people that follow me and they message me and they tell me that they've read the book and they love it. They just say that it's really cheered them up, that it made them laugh, that it made them cry, that they really relate to the character. I get messages from women in their 20s right through to their 80s. And I think a lot of them say that it makes them feel that they're not alone. And that it's okay to still be feeling like their life's a bit of a mess. And that's a really powerful message, I think. So it's brilliant. People seem to love the book. The first one sold, I think we're over 300,000 copies now. So Hopefully everyone's going to love the follow-up as much.
And I think this is a good time for me to ask you if you wouldn't mind reading us a little bit from the book, if that's okay.
No, I'd love to. Okay, so this is right at the beginning of the book. This is the prologue. Hi, I'm Nell, and welcome to More Confessions of a 40-something F-Up, the podcast for any woman who wonders how the hell she got here and why life isn't quite how she imagined it was going to be. It's for anyone who has ever looked around at their life and thought this was never part of the plan, who has ever felt like they dropped a ball or missed a boat, and they're still desperately trying to figure it all out while everyone around them is baking gluten-free brownies. But first, a disclaimer. I don't pretend to be an expert in anything. I'm not a lifestyle guru or an influencer, whatever that is. And I'm not here to sell a brand or flog a product. I'm just someone struggling to recognize their messy life in a world of perfect Instagram ones and feeling like a bit of an F-up. Even worse, a 40-something F-up. Someone who reads a life-affirming quote and feels exhausted, not inspired. Who isn't trying to achieve more goals or set more challenges because life is enough of a challenge as it is. And who does not feel hashtag blessed and hashtag winning at life, but mostly hashtag no idea what the F I am doing and hashtag can I Google it? I think I should explain there that the character, she sets up a podcast. And it's an anonymous podcast where she's kind of telling it like it is. And nobody knows that she's doing this podcast. And everybody listens to it and relates. So.
And did you have to do a lot of research about podcasts, or was it?
Yes. Yeah. I listened to lots of podcasts. I listened to this podcast. I listened to a whole selection of podcasts, and they are so popular now. Mm. And the wonderful thing about podcasts is that you can listen to them anywhere. If you're in the car, if you're on the tube, if you're doing the washing up, walking the dog, they're so accessible. I think it's a really brilliant to think that we didn't used to have podcasts.
Oh,
it's crazy to think of life before podcasts. So it's just a really great new way to get content and information. I love it.
And you would think with the increase of podcasts that people would be listening to less audiobooks, but actually that seems the reverse. Audiobooks seem to be going from strength to strength. And what about audiobooks? Who do you have narrate yours?
Well, I am so lucky. I have Sally Phillips, the actress, who was, she was in Bridget Jones, and she was in Smack the Pony, and she's been in lots of great stuff. And she narrates this book, and I actually went to meet her, and I was in the audio booth when she was recording this book. And to watch her read is amazing, because she acts all the parts and all the accents, and it was just this surreal, amazing experience to see things that I've thought of in my head and written down. And then there's this amazing actress bringing it all to life in a sound booth. It's one of those pinch me moments.
Yeah. Is there a lot of you in this book? And therefore, was it even weirder to see Sally sort of acting it out as she narrated the book?
I mean, it is fiction. And I think a lot of women that write commercial fiction, people often think it's a memoir or were the person in the book. So it is fiction and the characters are fictional, but I think a lot of the feelings in there are real. They're all things that everybody's experienced. If I've not experienced them, I know people that have. I've done a lot of research. I've read a lot of stuff. So I think it's just like a lifetime's worth of feelings that you can sort of jumble together with your imagination and create this world. And actually, this sounds a little, I'm sure writers always say this, but the characters do become real to you. These are people that I now feel are real people. That sounds crazy. I feel like they're real people. So because you spend a year with them and you have conversations with them and you think about them. And it is amazing to hear her narrate this and bring these characters alive. And even so, they made a TV show. So seeing the characters on the television, that's another pinch me moment. So it's been fantastic.
And that's called Not Dead Yet. Is that right? That TV series?
Yes. It was made, Disney made it with 20th Century, and it's an American TV show. And I think they couldn't keep the title.
Fair enough.
It's got the F word in there. Yes. But I think it's still a great title. And it's amazing. It's set in America. So they kind of flipped it. Instead of her coming from America back to London in the show, she leaves London and goes back to America. But it's really good fun. It's actually airing in America right now. And I think we get it on Disney Plus, I think, here in May.
Oh, super. So we'll be able to watch it quite soon. Oh,
yes,
how exciting. Yes. But presumably it has the humour
come
through that you always include in your book.
Yeah, I think the humour, it's definitely got the humour. And I think humour is a really important tool for a writer, because you can write really dark stuff, really kind of heavy, dark, poignant, sad stuff. I write a lot about grief. She writes obituaries, and I'm able to explore these difficult subjects, but we've always got the kind of gallows humor. And so that allows you to write about those things, but without the book becoming heavy and depressing, because we can then flip it and we can use the humor and the way that she looks at life. And I think for a writer, using humour and comedy is a really powerful tool.
I just wondered how it is for you as an author when you're writing funny scenes or sad scenes, if you're feeling that yourself, if as someone walking past could look at you and know whether you're writing one of the more humorous scenes or one of the sadder scenes by the look on your face.
I definitely think that, you have to feel those feelings to be able to write the dialogue and the scenes. And that's the thing, as a writer, you you have to get into this world and you have to really dig deep. And that's why I think you become a better when you get older. I certainly have, because I've had a lot more life experience. So I have experienced some really sad stuff and I've experienced some fantastic stuff. And you can, even though you're writing fiction, you can dig down into those feelings and remember what they're like. And then you can put that into the character. But luckily, I sit in a little room. I sit in my back bedroom, so no one's walking past looking at me.
Again, I'm interested because we have so many trigger warnings these days with some books, so that if someone finds a subject difficult, that they don't, that they know about it in advance and they don't need to read about it. But as an author, it's kind of your job to write about the things that affect you the most, because you'll know that they might affect others. And is that a hard one for you as a writer to deal with?
I think it can be quite difficult, because I know that I've written some difficult storylines. I've written about cancer. I've written about Alzheimer's. I've written about depression, losing your job, all the kind of stuff that everybody experiences. And so those things can be difficult to write about, but I want to write about real life. So I have to cover those topics, because those are the things that if we're not experiencing, our friends are experiencing, or members of our family are experiencing. You come across things, you see things. And I don't think we can wrap people in cotton wool and protect them from all the hard stuff in life. We get knocked around in life. That's just the way it is.
It's interesting, because I find the things that hurt me the most, that I found hardest to deal with, are the ones I want to read about, because it helps me process all that I've gone through. But I understand for others, there are some stages where it's maybe too raw or too difficult.
I'm the same as you. I really love writing. In fact, that's why I really got into reading as a child, because I wanted... It was a lot of the books that you read, they're sort of explaining the things that you can't articulate yet and the feelings that you've got. And then as you get older, I'm drawn to books that will have characters that have gone through similar things as me, things I can identify with. And I think it's really powerful, because you don't feel alone. If you can read that in a book, you're not alone anymore. It's not just you. You're not weird. There's nothing wrong with you. And that's the power of a book.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is there going to be another one of these books? Because we love reading them so very much. And despite all the difficulties they are.
Yeah, well, a few people have said to me, it's like therapy in a book. A few readers have said, why did I spend all this money on therapy? I should have just read this book. Yes, I'm writing another novel right now, but I can see Nell and Cricket and all the rest of the gang. There are so many stories. I could just keep going with this forever because there's just life just keeps going, doesn't it? More stuff gets thrown at you. So we could really just carry on through 50s, 60s, 70s. In fact, I was at an event the other day and somebody said to me, when are you going to write 60-something F up? And I was like, oh, watch this space.
Oh, brilliant. Because you're a proficient author, so at what point do you know that an idea for a story is good enough to be a book?
That's a really interesting question, actually. I think you have to see if it's got legs. So you get lots of ideas. It's got to last 100,000 words. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I sit around with a notepad and I try flesh out the idea and I see if it will work and if there is enough for a book, because sometimes it just might be enough for a short story or enough for an article and it can't sustain itself. But you know, I have a little notebook with so many ideas jotted down in it. And often you'll find that some ideas become a B storyline in a book. I might have an idea about somebody that does such and such. It's not enough for a book, but you know what? That would make a great B storyline, so I can weave it into the novel that I'm writing.
And are you plotting your books out in some detail, or are you taking your notes, jumping in, and then plotting almost as you're going?
No, I'm kind of famous for my post-it board. I have a huge, it's just to the right of me, actually. I have a huge cork board. And I plot everything out very much like they do in television or film. And I have every scene written on a post-it note and I put them on this huge corkboard and I spend so many hours putting it all into a plan and then restructuring if it's not working. And then I can stand back and look. So I'm a real planner and every character has a different color so I can see where I'm a little bit too heavy on this character, where we need this other character a bit more. It really helps with the pacing. I do know writers that can just set off and write, but I can't imagine ever being able to do that. I think I might have done it for my first novel because I was sort of so excited and I had this story, but definitely once you're kind of 13, 14, 15 novels in, you get a bit more. You get a bit sort of more professional about it. And I do think plotting really helps because I have to know the end of the book to be able to know the beginning. Because it's like, where are we trying to get to? So, yeah, no, I definitely plot.
I love the idea of using post-it notes. I just fear for how good the glue is on the post-it notes and whether you return the next day and they're all on the floor.
You have to actually, the glue's not very good. You actually have to use a drawing pin.
Oh, right. I'm with you now. Yes, I'm more comfortable with that. And yes, that's not causing me as much concern. Look, if you could go back to when you were writing this particular book, More Confessions of a 40-something F-Up, is there anything that you would whisper to yourself just as you're starting to write it?
Yes, it would be, don't worry, it's all going to work out okay. Because I'm even though I've been doing this 25 years, I still have every single book I start, I always think, I'm not going to be able to do this. It's not going to be very good. Oh no. Because for me, it takes me a year to write a novel. So you're looking at a big chunk of time and a big story that you have to write. And I do have to remind myself, I have little stickers around, that I've done this before and I can do it again. And it's a bit like climbing a mountain. I think the first half I find very difficult. And then once you get to the top, you get about halfway, then it all seems to just kind of make sense and you can see everything. And then it's this really fantastic ride down the other side.
Oh, that's fantastic. So is publication day a pleasure or a pain?
it's great. I love publication day because you see all your hard work and all the hard work of your publishing team actually sort of materialize. You see the book in the shops, and there's so many people working behind the scenes that no one's really aware of, the copy editors, your editor, the marketing team. And it's, I love publication day. It's really exciting. And it's, and then also hearing what readers think about your book and seeing readers with your book. That's great. Seeing somebody with your book in their hands reading it is what it's all about.
And talking of books, are there are books that you've been reading that you would recommend to us? Are there any that really sort of stand out to you?
The one book that I've recommended to everybody, which I could not put down, and I just was blown away, was Lessons in Chemistry, which I realise has everybody's felt the same way. And I recommended it to my mum, who's in her 80s. I recommended it to my sister. I've recommended it to my male friends. And it was such a brilliant book because the characters just leapt off the page for me. And I read in bed, and often I read a few pages and I'm tired and I turn out the light. I just couldn't put this book down. So I really loved Lessons in Chemistry. And another couple of books that I've really loved was The Excitements by C.J. Ray, which is it's a really great book. It's about, it just came out, I think, in January. And it's about two sisters in their 90s. That they used to, and it's a sort of a dual narrative. It's set in the Second World War and it's set in the modern day. And you follow these two sisters and they're going to Paris to get an award for what they did during the Second World War. And we're not quite sure what they did in the Second World War, but there's sort of rumors of them being spies. And then it's all sort of wrapped up in this sort of dual heist. It's a really fantastic book. And I loved that one. And I'm all for older characters because I have Cricket in my book and she's in her 80s, and there's this sort of idea that we're in all invisible when we get older, and what a great idea to have some 90-year-old thieves, because you are invisible when you're older. No one's looking for a thief in their 90s. So that was a book that I really enjoyed.
Lovely. Have you got one more for us at all? You've given us two.
Yes, one more. The other one that I think I would love is a book called One Love by Matt Cain. And that's a really great book. I think that just came out a couple of months ago. And it's almost a bit like One Day. It's set over 20 years. And it's two men and they met at university. And one loves the other one. And it's sort of, we revisit them over 20 years. And it's all about, it's a love story. And it's a really wonderful book. I love that. So that's called One Love. And then obviously One Day, which is, we've just had the Netflix show. And I read that book when that first came out. And I still love that book. It's just so nostalgic for me because I think I'm of the right age. So I was at university in the late 80s. And so I just remember all those references and not having mobile phones. I read somebody put on a comment somewhere, what did you do? Did you just sit around and wait for someone to call? Yeah, it's exactly what we did.
Talking about the book, you mentioned in particular the Excitements by C.J. Ray, although they're all brilliant books. Have you read Miss Benson's Beetle by Rachel Joyce?
I haven't, but I love Rachel Joyce. I love The Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. And my mum read that book that you've just mentioned, and she absolutely loved it, and it's on my to be read list.
Yes, that would be my recommendation to you then, Alex.
I know I'll really like that because I do love Rachel Joyce's writing.
Yes, and the audiobook's lovely as well. Anyway, we come on to the final question. We've talked about your book, but we need to get to the most important thing now. Sorry, Alex, and that is biscuits. What biscuit was powering the writing of More Confessions of a 40-something F-Up?
It has to be ginger biscuits. They are the biscuits that there's nothing like a ginger biscuit. Ginger's good for you. If you can have a cup of tea, the trick is to just slightly dunk it so it doesn't collapse and fall into the tea and then you get all the mush at the bottom, but to still keep that kind of slight crunch, but it's kind of warm and So yeah, ginger biscuits are my absolute favourite. It's ever since I was a child and I was given them. This is back in the 70s when kids were given like cups of tea and biscuits when they were about six.
And a glass of sherry, that's what I was given. But anyway. Oh, that's just wonderful to talk to you and hear more about this brilliant book, More Confessions of a 40-something F-Up, Alexandra Potter. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And that's it for this week. I'll be back on Monday with the usual episode with more waffle. Until then, just look after yourselves and I'll talk to you very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. That's enough books, said no one, ever. See you again soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.